that he died for us. Praise be to his name. In American history, one of the greatest discovery events was the Lewis and Clark expedition, I should say. In 1903, the United States bought from France made the Louisiana Purchase, buying the land that was the land between what was existing in the United States, kind of east of the Mississippi River, and that which much of it was going west, from all the way from the Gulf up to the Canadian border. So they bought this land. And in this land, no one knew exactly what was all in there. In this swath of land, Thomas Jefferson, the president at that time, quickly determined we needed a journey of discovery, where we could figure out what was in this land. And was there really a water link? Because one of the hopes was that there'd be a way to get by water from St. Louis all the way to the Pacific Ocean. And so he enlisted Captain Meriwether Lewis to be the leader of an expedition to go explore this area, up the Missouri River and hopefully to the Columbia or whatever awaits. And this is what Jefferson said: "The object of your mission is to explore the Missouri River and such principal stream as it is by its course and communication with the waters of the Pacific Ocean. Whether the Columbia, Oregon, or Colorado, or any other river, may offer the most direct and practical water communication across this continent for the purposes of commerce." In other words, to find that Northwest Passageway that would open up, they hoped, the wealth of North America. Now, at this time, in the pre-discovery, there was a lot of thoughts and ideas that were going around about what was there in the wild, wild West. Some people thought there were woolly mammoths out there. Other people thought there were Peruvian llamas. There was even the talk that there might be a tribe of blue-eyed Welsh Native Americans out there. Where that came from, who knows? But those were some of the myths that were talked about, this uncharted West. And Lewis and Clark expedition was to discover what was true and what was myth or speculation. And so they left in May 1904, taking over 2 years before returning in September 1806. Lewis and Clark searched out this land for president and country to discover what was taking place, what was out there, and to separate fact from fiction. Open up the doors to the West and the growing country that we know and love as the United States. And it's interesting, if we go outside and look across the river is part of the green area that was added in 1803 by the purchase. Because this part was part of the existing United States, the kind of the reddish thing, and in the west of the Mississippi was added. So in this time, they discovered a lot about this new land and how we as a people could use it and know what's there and kind of integrate it into this United States. Over the past 6 weeks, we've been on a journey of discovery as well. A journey to find meaning in life, to find purpose and meaning and significance for our life. For there's a lot of different thoughts on what meaning is in life. Sometimes the comic strips have it. Like Snoopy, where am I going? What am I doing? What is the meaning of life? Even the comic strip characters sometimes go through this. This one is, I want to know what the meaning of life. Have you tried Googling it? Well, you know, if you're unsure, just Google it. They've got to have the answer, right? Or this teacher talking to the student. Birth, death, and it's just in between stuff. And the student wisely says, that's it? That's life? And really, life under the sun as we know it, that's what it is. It's life, death, and stuff in between. Life under the sun. And Solomon has been speaking in this book of Ecclesiastes, speaking to us as looking at considering life under the sun and the things of this world, limited by time, limited by the life we know here under the sun. And he finds that this life is meaningless, limited to this world. He begins and ends with the same statement in chapter 1, verse 2, and chapter 12, verse 8, just before the final conclusion section that was read for us. Here's what he says: meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. That's his going in and coming out thoughts. Solomon's first entry and his last. If we limit our life and are chasing our discovery to this world, everything is a chasing after the wind. There's no lasting purpose and meaning. If it's just this world, limited to human wisdom, It can't give us in our lives. It can't give our souls what we desperately need, what God made us for. For what did Solomon, the great king, try to discover? He tried to find meaning through various ways in life. As we talked through, he sought it in pleasure and joy and fun things. He sought it through possessions, material goods. He sought it through power. He sought it through achievement and accomplishing great works. He sought it through learning and wisdom, knowledge, through work, money, even religious application and religious thought limited under the sun to this world. These are a number of his key searches, and each one he comes up with the idea of meaningless. Meaningless. This is the word of Ecclesiastes. As we come to the final statement and we wrap up this book, it's important for us to see then the actual conclusion of the matter. The final words that the author puts in Ecclesiastes. Here is the final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do. At the conclusion of the matter, at the end of it all, this is what the writer comes up with for us. For he sees that limited to this world and this earth, there isn't anything that gives lasting meaning. We have to lift up our eyes and see who God is and what he's done for us. And then we can find the meaning that God intended for life and for eternity. To understand life from the view of the Creator, the ruler and sustainer of life. From God who has given us new life through the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ our Lord, we now have heard the final story in the conclusion of it all. Well, let's look at a couple thoughts as we consider this today. Our aha moment. First of all, our aha moment. First, we need to notice that finding meaning is possible. Though Solomon has considered many dead ends in his search for meaning, there is a eureka, aha, I found it. There's no give up, quit. There, here it is. Eureka, a shout of triumph. Now, eureka was the word that was used by the gold miners in California in the 1840s when they found gold. And there's a town, Eureka, California, out of it. And eureka comes from the Greek, which is, aha, I found it. It's what I was been looking for. And the first one that's attributed to is Archimedes. Everyone remember the story of Archimedes? The mathematician in Greek in 200 years B.C., he was entrusted. You see on the lower right side, there's a crown. And a king had given gold to one of his goldsmiths to create a crown for him. And when the king got this crown back, he looked at it and he felt, he says, I have the feeling that this goldsmith cheated me. That he mixed other things in the gold and he put gold around it, and it's not pure gold. But in 200 BC, what kind of instruments did he have to figure it out? So he goes to Archimedes and says, you figure it out. So Archimedes says, how in the world am I going to figure this out? You know, this interesting shaped crown. And when he was in the bathtub, he figured out he could submerge it and see its displacement and weigh it against a gold, pure gold bar and see how it compared. And so it struck him, and he found it. Eureka! Wow, this is it. I found the answer of what I'm looking for. And after 12 chapters by the wisest man in the world at this time, the author finds the meaning here at the end in this aha moment. Have you had a moment such like this in life where you've been considering a problem or thinking about what you're going to do or what God's speaking to you, and all of a sudden, bam, it hits you? Maybe it's reading the word. Maybe it's God's Spirit talking to you. Maybe it's something that happens, somebody speaking a word of wisdom to you. But it's like the light goes on. It just makes sense. Ah, I figured it out. Praise God. I remember when God called me to ministry, it was like the word of God just opened up and it just spoke to me. It was one of those moments such as this. Aha. That's what we find in Solomon's word here in the very end. Because after considering all these different dead ends, these things of the world, it comes to the answer where we can find meaning in life. We don't have to resort to making stuff up. We don't have to face life with just a stiff upper lip. We don't have to put our head in the ground, ignore the realities of life. We can look life squarely in the eye and say, you can throw anything at me and I can still find meaning and purpose and significance for today, tomorrow, and forever. because of what God has done for me. And what is this word of truth? What is the meaning behind this? What is it? It's that word, fear God and obey His commands. Fear God, obey His commands. That's the final conclusion. That's the meaning of it all. It's what God made you and me to be. It's what He designed into our beings, into this world, that we know God, that we follow Him, and we follow His word. That's the way to true meaning from the Creator of life. Have you worked on a computer where you've had trouble at times, where the software doesn't work? And you think, how in the world? And you look in a manual, you look on the line, and of course they don't give you the answer you're looking for, right? Yeah, Hayden's had that trouble. Well, wouldn't it be great if you were doing that, if you could call up the creator of that software and say, hey, you know, Bill Gates, I'm having trouble with Windows here. Can you come over and help me out? And then he stops by and helps you out, sits down next to you, and talks you through. That'd be pretty nice to have, wouldn't it? The creator of the software, whoever it was, if they're there, they wrote all the code, they've got to figure out, they know, they can help you. That's what we have here in the Word of God. We have the designer of our life in this world telling us exactly how we can find what we need for life by fearing God and obeying His commands. Sometimes the idea of fearing God, that's, what does that mean? I mean, we don't talk a lot about the fear of God because the whole concept of fear doesn't really connect with our generation, with our spirit of our age. But the concept of what it means is a very powerful thing. And here's some of the aspects of what it means to fear God. Fearing God means that we know God. We know who He is, that He is the creator and maker and ruler and sustainer of life. We know Him. And that we, knowing God, realize that we need to stand in awe of Him. Because God is greater than we are. God made the world and everything else. He's smarter than us. He knows more than us. He knows what is best for us. So we stand in awe of His glory and of His greatness, realizing God is in heaven and we're on earth. And then knowing that, we revere God and worship Him because He is the great God and we are His creation, who is to give Him glory and reflect praise and glory to Him. So we revere Him because of how great He is. And then as we do that, we out of it in our lives and how we live, we obey God. We follow His word. We obey His commands because He knows what's best. He made us to live this way. And then we fear His judgments. And what that means is we realize that one day God will judge everyone and God will judge all things. We don't have to be in fear, like shaking and quaking, because if we know Christ. But the idea of fear is realize that God will bring judgment. And to realize to live apart from God, to not follow Him, is to live under His judgments and His anger because of sin. And that He will judge sin. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a God who is angry with us if we don't follow and obey Him. For those who trust Him, it's just the realization of knowing His judgments, which are true. All of this together makes up that concept of fearing God that he talks about. How are we to live our lives to find meaning? We know God. We stand in awe of Him. We revere Him. We obey Him. And we stand in fear of His judgments. This is really the intersection of life and God's work where we find meaning in life. And find that meaning is possible for our lives. And more than possible, it's planned, it's designed by God for your life. His desire for us is to have a meaningful existence. Under the sun, that ball of fire in the sky, it's not possible. But under the sun, Jesus Christ, as we would say, He created it for you and for me as we keep God's word and obey His commandments. These are words of life for us. You know, in this, we realize it begins with God. The psalmist says this in Psalm 111:10, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom, or the beginning of wisdom. All who obey His commandments and grow in wisdom praise Him forever. It begins with God. The fear of God, knowing God, it starts with Him. And in the New Testament, the We could say that the equivalency of fearing God in the Old Testament is conversion or salvation in the New Testament. Because it's coming to this realization of who God is and entrusting our lives to Him. And we do that in the New Testament and acknowledge that through Jesus Christ, we are saved, born again. So fearing God is the same thing as conversion or salvation in the New Testament. In the response of faith to knowing who it is. That all puts together that we can know God. And that out of that, we can live in God by fearing Him and keeping His commands. And in that life, we find meaning. We find that aha moment where we have life in Him forever. And to fear God requires us to know Him. And God has now revealed to us Jesus. So we must know Jesus. And so we can say to find meaning in life, we must know Jesus Christ as our Lord. And become His followers. And when we do that, we find that meaning that God intended for us. For God has provided Christ alone to give us meaning in life today, tomorrow, the next week, and into eternity. That is our life. To realize that we can now find meaning. This life, limited to this world, is meaningless. But God removes the limits through Jesus Christ and allows us to find eternal meaning in Him. That aha moment. Well, next, let's look at and consider our whole lives. For this is not just a moment in time, but it involves our whole life. As the writer continues on in verse 13, here's my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands. And His word here, for this is everyone's duty. And we often see this idea, this is everyone's duty or the duty of man, depending on what version is. But it's important to realize in the original text that the word duty doesn't appear. That's put in by the translators because there's times they're trying to be helpful. But I'm going to say and suggest to us that's not actually helpful. Because what the text is really saying, for this is the whole of man. Or this is the whole of man and women. This is the whole of our being. It's our whole life. It's our whole purpose to what? Fear God and obey His word. This is the whole of man. It's what God designed us to be. It encompasses all our being, all our life, our actions, our words, our thoughts, our intentions. It's encompassing everything. The whole of us is to live for God. And we could say, I like how one author said it this, this is the mannishness of man and the womanliness of woman. The whole of life to what? To live for God through Jesus Christ. These words that are found here in several other places in Deuteronomy, it says, with your whole heart. Genesis 5:5, the whole of the days. Isaiah, the whole of the nations. Giving us the idea, the picture is the whole of our being, the whole of who we are is intended to obey God and to fear God and obey His commands. That's everything God designed us to be. It's God's intention for us in life. Nothing else will do. Anything else falls short. And one of the great confessions in church history says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's what's being said. The whole of everything is to know God, glorify Him, and enjoy. In other words, live in Him with life, with everything. It's our highest and greatest good is found in God in Him alone. So that's where God's intention is for us. And nothing else will do. Everything under the sun falls short. Limited by this world, it can't do it. Here's some words that we see in the scriptures that help us understand that. The words, Deuteronomy, these instructions are not empty words, they are your life. And in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in His glory. The whole idea of the whole of our life, it's our life. It's not just duty, a part of our life. It is to be the whole, encompass everything with our life. The whole of our person, our being, our intention is to live in God. John, we see in John 17, it says, and this is the way to have eternal life, is to know You, the only God, and Jesus Christ who sent You. The way to have life is to know You. The revelation of God is now seen in Christ, that final word of God. And it's in this that we can now know God in a full and complete way. Through Jesus Christ. And that's where we find this meaningful life. In Christ, there's no chasing after the wind. In Christ, there isn't meaninglessness. in God through Christ, we have meaningful lives by anchoring, rooting, and finding our life in God, with Jesus as the foundation, the core, the center of our existence, and what our hearts yearn for. Our identity is in Christ as a child of God. Our purpose, to live for God and to glorify His name. And how do we do this? By living our whole lives in His word, in His plan. For whom do we have in heaven but you, the psalmist says. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. There's nothing else in this world that compares or can give us lasting meaning like God can through Jesus Christ. Do the commands and the concept of this whole life, does that speak to you today? The whole of your life fearing God and obeying His commands. And if it does, praise God, you're living a meaningful life that will last. But if you say, well, I'm not sure, I'm uncertain about it, then you're in danger of having your life not be the meaningful life that God intended. I urge you to live a life that is full of eternal meaning in Christ. Nothing else you do can compare with that. In work, as Christians, work isn't about merely getting ahead or making money. It's about using our God-given gifts to please Him, to provide for our needs, and then help others. Retirement isn't about quitting activities that's productive. It's about having more time to invest in the pursuits that God calls you to. School isn't about simply getting good grades. It's about learning with the talents that God has given you so that you may better learn, grow, and impact people for Him. God has called us to purpose-filled living that encompasses our whole life, our glorious existence under the Son, Jesus Christ. Fear God, obey His commands. Do these words define your life? God calls us to a life that's defined by this, where we find meaning, meaning that lasts. The last thing we look at is our final account. As the author says in verse 14, God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. God will judge us. Judgment can be a scary thought if we're not ready, if we're not prepared for being judged. If you go into school and you're going to take a test and you're not prepared, that's a scary thing, isn't it? Or if you're going to have to stand before a judge and you're not ready for it. But praise God, through life in Christ, when we stand before God, we can receive, well done, good and faithful servant, because of what Christ has done. But consider judgment for judgment to occur, what must take place? There has to be a future dimension, a future element. There has to be more than life under the sun, that ball of flame in the sky. There has to be an ongoing life for judgment to take place. How horrible it would be if God judged us on a curve. If we had to have 100% in life. If we had to be perfect. The scriptures say that you must be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. If we're going to make it to heaven in our own strength, in our own lives. But praise God, under Jesus Christ, He can forgive us and fill us with His righteousness. So when we stand in judgment before God, we can do it boldly in the confidence of Christ, because we live for Him. And then God will bring everything we do as well into judgment, good or bad. He will bring it before Him. To live for self means that we'll die in judgment before God. To live for God means to share in His eternal glory, where every action, mode of activity comes out on the table. Things done in the daylight and things done under the cover of darkness. All the deeds will be made plain before God. There are no secrets before God. And everything will be revealed. What has been done before the Creator. Wrath for those who haven't found their meaning and purpose and life in God through Christ. But praise be to God, rewards and blessings for those who lived it, trusting in God, fearing Him, and following Christ. That's God's plan for His people for eternity. For in God our meaning lasts for all eternity. As we come to the final wrap-up and conclusion of our study, what we find is our meaningful life in God can go on forever. And it goes on how? By fearing God and obeying His commands. By being the people that God calls us to be. Because life under the sun, Jesus Christ, is worthwhile, substantial, relevant, important, consequential, and useful. Well, life under the sun in eternity in judgment will be insignificant, non-essential, trivial, superficial, vain, and ultimately useless. Where do you live and where do I? There was a godly man who had a lot of wealth in this world, and when his time came, the angel of the Lord came to him and he says, "Your time's ready. I'm going to take you to heaven." He goes, "Well, can I just bring some of my wealth? I want to bring it and present it to God. You know, I've worked hard in this world and I've accomplished this." And he just says, "There's no need for that." He says, "Please, please." And he begged the angel. So the angel relented and said, "You can fill your pockets." So he filled his pockets with the gold he had. And then he went to heaven, died and went to heaven. He stood before Peter at the gates. And Peter says, "Well, welcome." And the man says, "Here, I brought you riches and wealth from the earth." And Peter looked at him and says, "Why did you bring pavement with you?" "Because the streets of heaven are paved with gold. The things of this world are worthless in heaven. The things of possessions and money and wealth, the things that are limited to this world, we're there to be used while we're here. But as in terms of things that give meaning and purpose and lasting significance and matter in eternity, they don't. But it's what we do, how we live for God, that will matter and will last." Richard Warmbrand was a Romanian pastor who came to faith in Christ and realized what it meant to live his whole life in Jesus Christ. And he lived in Romania just in that time, World War II time, where the Romanians connected with Germany, and then the Russians came in and they became communist. And after World War II, at a Congress of the Cults, they called it, 400 religious leaders and people gathered. And what they found is many of them started pledging allegiance to the communist regime. Well, Richard stood up and declared, "Our life as Christians is to glorify God and Christ alone." Well, it wasn't long after that he was imprisoned, beaten, tortured, threatened, spending some 13 years in prison. His wife was in prison. His son, 11 years old, was left all alone. Later on, he made it to the United States and started that group, the Voice of the Martyrs, that helped the persecuted church around the world. But Richard understood the life of faith, the life of meaning that lasts, even if it was difficult in a more challenging way. For he realized that to live as Christ and to find the meaning we need in life, we must live our whole lives glorifying God and trusting Him. In other words, fearing God and obeying His commands. The conclusion of the matter has been heard. This is the final word. The whole story. Now here's my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands. For this is the whole of men and women. That's where we can find meaning. You can have a meaningful life. Praise God. We can find meaning. Meaning that lasts. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the words of Solomon here in Ecclesiastes. And we thank You, Lord, in the midst of all of the emotions and the ups and downs, the starts and stops, that, Lord, the final conclusion and the final word is in. That we need to be people who know You, standing in awe of You, and live by faith in Christ. And Lord, in that, we can find meaningful life, life that lasts. Lord, thank You that You are the author of life. And in that, You are the author of life's meaning that lasts. Lord, give us hearts that are open and receptive to living, trusting You, to fear You, and obey Your commands. For this is the whole of our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.